All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts, good morning. What's today? June 11th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Sunny and warm, summery. Got up, did my walk. Same walk, different day. Took my stick today, though. Whack some weeds. People get so intimidated by the stick. It's just a stick. And, I walked down this one road, which has a lot of cars, and I got my stick. I tell you, sometimes these cars get close. I might have to whack one, right? It comes a little bit close. I might have to little pop, right? I told you a lady asked me, what you carry this stick for? I said, well, it keeps me occupied. Keeps me busy in my mind and in my hands. And, but man, I do, this is the fucked up, I share all the time, stay in the day, right? You got to stay in the day. Every day I'm like, what happens when it gets cold, right? Because I really, I've said this before, over winter, man, I put on some pounds. I mean, maybe 10, right? Maybe 10, things got thicker in parts I hadn't been that thick before, right? And, folds were folding and lumps were lumping and I had never been that, I shouldn't say I've never been that heavy, but I hadn't been that heavy in a while. And it was pretty frustrating. But once summer starts, man, and I'm walking and paddling and just way more active and outside, the weight's starting to fall off. I definitely feel better. Been doing a lot of squats at work but I'm walking this morning. I'm like, God, when winter starts, right, I'm not going to be able to do this. Summer just started and I'm already ending it, right? I'm already in this moment where, I'm already looking at the end of summer and it hasn't even started. In fact, I just saw two of the kids out on the street. They're waiting for the bus. I'm like, God, they still have more school. And they're like, their mom's like, it's their last day. I was like, shoot. I was like, oh, okay. So stay in the day again. Once again, Tom, stay in the day. I am having my my coffee, my Laird Hamilton Mocha Creamer, mushroom-packed coffee, superfood, and it's really good. It's funny, everything I see on my Instagram now is all mushrooms, and Risen, I don't know, but there's one, this guy's talking about, oh, this is helps with my gut, and I'm like, yes, I need help with my gut, and but I never bought it. It actually was a subscription and I'm not signing up for a subscription to this shit. So, I was at work the other day and this friend of mine had the Laird Hamilton superfood, mushroom packed creamer. And I tried it and it's actually good. It's mocha. It's not a sponsor. I don't have any sponsors, but I do think it's pretty good. And I don't know if my gut feels any different, but, I'm having that. It's a great way to get my day started. I did this podcast once before this morning and I started going down, getting a little political and I had to stop and, I don't want to do that. But sort of where it started from was that I was talking about a buddy of mine that I grew up with, my buddy Steve, and, growing up together, we partied, man, him and I actually didn't always get along. Anytime you're in that, in our 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old groups, right? And before you turn 21, you're doing a lot of partying, but you're not off to the bars, right? You're not breaking off into smaller groups. We had this group of about 8 people that we all hung out together drinking and partying. And of course, within that 8 people, you're always going to have little tiffs and fights, and me and my buddy Steve, we were a lot alike, so we clashed a little bit, but always a good friend of mine, and he came visit me a few years back. He's down in Alabama, I think, and he's the guy that, we hung out with a group of girls, him and one of the girls, she got pregnant, they ended up having a child, they got married, they broke up, he ended up hooking up with this other chick, they had a child. Just a couple of kids with a couple of old friends of ours, right? And it's like one of those stories, right? You see in a movie. And they ended up down in Alabama, and somehow Steve's down in Alabama. And I got a text from him. He actually came and visited up here to the beach probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago now. Him and his buddy Bob came up, and we went out to dinner and hung out. And he was doing good, right? He was killing it, man. And I got a text from him the other day. It says, I've lost everything. And I think, you know, I don't think he ever got sober, right? I think he's probably had moments where he's taken a break, but never, you know, a 12-step program. Let's talk recovery. Let's help another alcoholic. Let's go to a lot of meetings. Never that guy, which is fine, right? It's not for everybody. But I get a text from him the other day. Well, I saw one of these cryptic texts on Facebook, you know. I can't even remember what it said, but I was like, go on, right? Like, go. I hear you. What you got my attention. Next, what's next? And then he sent me a message in Messenger saying he's lost everything, and it's not because of the booze and the dope, right? It's because I guess bad luck, I suppose. But he said, you know, the kids are trying to help me. Maybe you might be interested in helping. You know, contribute to my kids started a GoFundMe page, and I was like, oh my god. You know, could be a scam. I'm not even sure. I texted him this morning on my regular texting phone, right? Messenger, right? Or not Messenger, but just texting. I was like, you up, right? You know, let's chat. Because listen, and I told my wife, I said, if this is real, I want to send him some money. I don't want to send him a couple hundred bucks. I mean, I obviously don't have a lot of money, but I can send him a couple hundred bucks because Steve is one of these people that would, back in the day, do anything for me. Now, granted, at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, we always are that way, right? But when you're an adult, it's a little tougher because we wise up and, you know, become a little more callous and I can't be bothered. But, you know, and she said, well, you know, I would find out what the problem is. And I said, no. I said, Steve's that guy, you know, you just don't, when a guy like him needs some money, you know, you don't ask why. You just send it.
The sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. And take it easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see.
Take It Easy. Probably one of the greatest songs ever written, I think. I was listening to one of the podcasts I did recently, and I could hear myself singing in the background. So I probably just sang into the background on that song. It is, I've always said this, I've said it many a times on this podcast, the Eagles are that band that always makes you feel like you could be that ninth member, right? You could just slide right in and... And they would be like, listen, man, you sing great with us. Come on in the band. And you're like, thank you. thank you to the Eagles. They're so awesome. Yeah, man, you just sometimes people just need help, right? And I don't want to have conditions, right? I told her maybe I'll send them a couple $100, right? 100 is the new 20. $200 ain't shit, but it's a lot for me, right? It's funny, $200 doesn't go far, but it still feels like a lot to me. I'm in that fucking terrible zone, right? That I was, you know, a Gen X, right? Where we didn't have a lot of money, and what money we had seemed to go pretty far. Now I don't have much money, and the money I have doesn't go very far at all. And, you know, my kids, you know, I'm like, we ain't going to eat there. It's $5 for a burger or something. And my kids are like, that ain't that bad. You know, we paid $14 at Firefly. I'm like, that's ridiculous. So, whatever. The point is, I'll probably send him some money. I hope he's okay. I hate people, you know, especially my old friends that struggle. And listen, I could start struggling today. Who knows? But, you know, I went to the meeting last night. And the other thing is, you know, my buddy, you know, he has chosen, and I'm, you know, I'm not looking down, but, you know, sometimes people choose a lifestyle, right? The first time I got sober in 97, the second time I got sober was in 06. And I found this, you know, I shared yesterday that I was going to try to write down some of the things that I talked about in the podcast so that I would try to not talk about them again, and or at least have an idea, right? And I found this journal, and the journal is from when I, you know, it seems like every time my life hits bottom, I always start journaling. So I probably got all these different journals. But this one is from December 1st, 2006. And, you know, my first day of journaling. We'll see how this goes. Started to make client lists. You know, that was 06. You know, that's when I came back. You know, I had been sober and decided to drink over in Easton and came back to Delaware. I must have spent the year of 06 really just drinking. It's hard for me to remember the timeline, but I know I went over there, was there 4 years, came back here in 05, right at the end of 05. And I guess I spent 06 really struggling, probably came back in 05. That's when I think I went to school, right, for hair, and was sober, but struggling every once in a while, right? And I remember making bad choices with my wife being pregnant and then having, David was born in 05 and, you know, I must've spent 06 really just, you know, fucking up, making bad choices. And, you know, she left in November, right? November of 06, I went to that rehab and came out, and that would be the last time I would drink in 06. And would change my sobriety date 2 years later again, right, for pain pills. But 06 was the last time I had this drink. And, you know, I write in there, because I was sort of reading it. I won't read it, but I was sitting reading it. And it talks about I need to start working my second step. And it's so interesting when I look at the steps in recovery today as compared to how I looked at recovery in the steps back in 06 and even back in 97, right? Because in 97, I came in, I had to, right? I got my ass kicked. I was a beat down. This is what I had to do, right? And even when I came in 06, right, this was something that I had to do. My wife had left. I had lost everything. It's like sort of like my buddy. I don't know what's going on with him, but at this point in 06, I had lost everything, right? I still had a house, right? But, you know, I'd lost my wife and I'd lost my children. And, I had lost my career and I was starting over. And the one positive thing that I had in my life was the fact is that for that day, today, I was sober, right? I had chosen that day not to drink. And for that, I had hope, right? But when I'm in that addiction, right? When I'm in the bottle or doing whatever it is, it's bleak. Right? It's very bleak. And I remember that week before, bleak, 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 right? There was, you know, my wife left. She probably left mid-month of November. And there was probably a week and a half, 2 weeks of me being free from wife and life and just alone. The devil had separated me from everything that was important, or separated them from me, or whatever you want to call it. But I was alone in a house, doing drugs, drinking, going to bars, hitting on women. I was doing it all. And that last, you know, that week, I felt hopeless. I had no hope, right? I was still working. I was still at Bad Hair Day. It talks about in there, or at the salon, excuse me. You know, I write in that journal, you know, need to figure out how to market to build clientele, full of fear, right? Not working hard at it and just hopeless. And but coming in, and, you know, so last night I went to the meeting, and it was on the fifth step, like I figured it would be. And it was awesome. And, you know, but that was my share. It's like, you know, this step taught me so much. This whole process had taught me so much. And it was all about perspective. And I'd come in early on with one perspective. And I'd, you know, at the time when this step started to really help me, I had to change my perspective, right? From having to getting to, and started to learning about who I am. And, you know, instead of this almost like, if you don't do this, you're not going to graduate, to this more like, if I want to start my life over and start this new adventure, I should probably try and figure out how to clean up my life as best as I can. And that wouldn't even come to light until, you know, all the way through, right? You get all the way through and you're like, maybe there's more to this, right? And then you keep going to meetings and it's just more and more. And so it's such a long, grindy process, but it is worth it in the end. And, you know, we talked about the fifth step. Came to believe. Where's the, oh, here it is. Let me read it, because it's huge. Admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs, right? You know, this is that step. You hear about it all the time. People say, oh, my God, you got to do this step. If you do this step correctly, it is a life changer, right? The problem is you have to tell all of your dirtiest, darkest secrets, right? And I remember the first time I did the fifth step. I guess I'll go through it a little bit, even though I've talked about it, but whatever. You know, sitting down with Mike R. and doing that fifth step, doing the fourth step, right? Really grinding it out on paper, right? Writing it all down, the columns, figuring it out. What's this about? What's this about, right? And then people say, well, all you got to do is take your fourth step, and then that becomes your fifth step. It's true, right? But I wasn't really completely honest on my fourth step, right, the first time. There were still probably three or four things I did not mention, right? Because even though I had been told this is a life-changing event, this will lift your spirit and all that stuff, I chose not to listen because I was embarrassed, right? I was still consumed and tortured by the devil, self, and, you know, so I took my fourth step and I made it into my fifth step, and we went right through it. And of course, I never said some of the bad things that I had done, and we just went right past it, right? And everything was fine until it wasn't. And when I came back in, you know, and I, in 06, right? And I had been, you know, I'd come back in and was, I'd asked Matt to be my sponsor. I can't remember if we started the steps in 06, but I know that in 08, when I changed my sobriety date, I'm sure the steps were discussed. And I remember doing a four step with Matt, and I remember, you know, writing a few things or writing things down and then starting to go through it. He goes, that's all right. You're willing. And I'm like, okay. And I go, but I have a lot more stuff. He goes, that's right. You know, listen, this is about willingness, right? This isn't about I have to. This isn't about I'm going to be the best. I'm going to have the longest list. It's going to be the worst list. You're going to be amazed and blown away by my list. This is about the willingness to be able to dig in and do this sort of self, these hard looks at ourselves, trying to figure out what's gotten us here and what we got to get rid of to get past this, right? And you have the willingness. And I was like, okay. Now do you have the honesty, right? And so that's when I called my old sponsor and went and did that fifth step with him, right? I took the fifth step consisted of three things I had done that were so embarrassing, that I had so much shame with them. You know, you can have a list of 1,000 things, but if those three things, right, like RFK says, you should have somebody in your life that knows every secret. And if I can't tell those three things to somebody, that's the fucking the key that doesn't open the lock, right? And So I called, and I was too embarrassed, right, to do the fifth step with Matt. I didn't want to even, I was like, well, I was too embarrassed to do it with my car, and I'm definitely too embarrassed to do it with Matt, so I'm going to go back to my car. And I shared those three things. I said, this is what I did, and this is when I did it. And I said it. I go, there it is, I said it. And he's like, okay, what's next? And that was that. And did I feel any different? Not really, right? Not really. But there is, and I shared this last night, there's a lot of things that I learned in the fifth step, really. One of them is this conversation that I have, right, with this lower power. This conversation that I've had with the lower power and how long I've had it and how much I listen to that lower power more than I do my higher power. Because there's a voice when I came to that point, let's write this down and share. There's a voice, right? This feeling, this consciousness, this entity, right? That says, don't do that. Let's get high. Let's do it, right? I want to try drugs. Let's go, right? There's always that. And I've talked about it before, but my higher power is very quiet and low and in the corner, right? And doesn't say a lot. And my lower power is very loud and in the corner and rambunctious and obnoxious and always, he's the kid that wants the most attention, and it's hard not to pay attention to him because he's so loud, right? And to hear, if you have kids, I have kids, and one kid has a different personality than another kid, and my lower power is very loud. He's that ADHD kid. He's the kid that needs all the attention, very up and down. And my higher power is very quiet, right, and very humble and subtle. And like, shh, 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 he's gonna say something, right? I have to be very quiet. But I've learned, especially doing the fifth step, and because these are the steps that really have to start, doing stuff, right, and interacting with another human and telling on ourselves, right? And my lower power is like, don't do it, right? You can tell that. That's fine. Don't tell that, right? Don't tell that. And we're as sick as our secrets. And that's when I started running, and I would listen to these lower powers, and I would tell, don't do it. Let's not run. Fuck, you're going to run. And then how I would assault all these people in my mind. And it was just this real disgusting sickness that I had with the devil, right? With this lower power part of me. And I learned how much I'd listen to it, right? And I started to learn that if I wanted to hear what my higher power had to say, I had to be quiet, right? I had to, shh, hey, calm down. Let me hear what he has to say for a second, right? And, that's one of the things that I like about RFK Jr. is that you have to, shh, hold on, he's talking, his voice is all fucked up. Let's hear what he has to say, right? The battle, the uphill battle. And that's sort of, I'm not comparing him to my higher power, but, it's just one of these things that just takes focus. And, but I would learn that. I didn't understand that. I had become so used to hearing this, this voice that was like, yeah, let's go to the bar. Yeah, let's try meth. Yeah, let's stay up all night. All of these things. I don't even know if I shared, I went to this meeting the other day, and there was a guy, I was going to that Saturday meeting, and I was driving down the highway, and where we live, man, there's a lot of people that come here in the summer. And there's a lot of people on bikes and stuff. And there was this guy, this skinny kid, right? And he's on one of these e-bikes, but with these like little teeny tires, right? It's the fucking stupidest bike I've ever seen. But it gets you around, right? And what do I care? But I'm very critical, right? Judgmental of this guy. And he's weaving in and out sort of traffic and up on the sidewalks. And I'm like, look at this guy, this tweaker, right? He's skinny. And he reminded me of me when I lived in San Diego, out on bicycles. We didn't have e-bikes, of course, but we were out on bikes, super skinny, weaving in and out of traffic, just fucking idiots. And I'm watching him, and I'm like, and then I had to take a turn and make a U-turn, and I'd sort of lost him, and then he showed up again over by the outlets, and then I'm like, God, there he is again, right? And then I had to cut through the outlets because that's sort of how you get to this meeting, and then I'm going down the road, and then as I'm driving down the road, I'm passing him on the shoulder, and he's still on the, I'm like, there he is again. Like four times I ran into this guy trying to get to the meeting. And Finally got to the meeting, parked, went inside. 2 minutes late, right? 3-4 minutes late, this guy, the guy on the bicycle comes in the meeting. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, this guy, he is, I mean, he was, you know, cutting through traffic. He was trying to get to a meeting, right? And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then so last week I went to the meeting and I sat next to him. And clearly, you know, some history in the ups, right? The meths. And I talked to him and I said, you know, because he talked about, you know, I wanted to get fucking high today and I didn't, right? You know, I chose not to. And I was like, you know, I got to tell you, you know, I moved into this town in 94. And when I left San Diego, I was high on methamphetamines. And that was my drug of choice. That was my poison. That was the fucking love of my life at the time, right? And came across the United States in 5 days. Couldn't get off the shit. Got to Delaware, right? And luckily that shit did not exist here, right? But if I had come here and gotten here and that stuff was here and started and continued doing what I was doing at the time, my life would be absolutely so different because that shit was horrible. I mean, it was so good, it was horrible, right? And you know, I feel so blessed because I got to take a break from that, right? And that's where I put all my focus into drinking and then would get sober and luckily, hopefully today, right? I couldn't imagine doing speed today. My whole world would be like, what is wrong with you, right? You just don't fit into that world. You know, back in those days, that world, I slid into and disappeared, right? But today, I have such a huge world around me that everybody would be like, what's the matter with you? Thank God. Oh my God. But I told him, man, I go, I got to give you a lot of credit. If you're here getting sober because you're struggling with that stuff, you know, more power to you. What, you know, thank you. Right. Because that is because eventually it would catch up, right? Eventually meth got here and I'm sure it's here everywhere now, but, yeah, just a funny story because I was like very critical. And you know, this is the shit that I still have to work on. You know, I'm like judgmental and my first thought is always kind of weird and I hate it. And, you know, I didn't say, oh, look at that tweaker on the bike. I bet he's trying to get to a meeting, right? That's not what I said. I said, you know, whatever. And I'm just not proud of it, especially when we both end up in the same goddamn place. And, yeah. Anyway, so the fifth step, obviously this is a step that you must do with the sponsor. I said this last night, you know. 1, 2, 3 is really the foundation for these 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right? I had to get into a great spot, you know, by doing the first three steps over and over for really, you know, honestly, I mean, I don't know why, and besides boredom and the fact that you feel like you're not progressing, you know, I don't know why you couldn't just do the first three steps for the first 3 years, right? I mean, so much changes. Right. Should you sit down and read the steps with the sponsor? Yes. Right. I don't want to see people getting discouraged, but maybe that's important too. Right. My journey's been weird. I've done the steps and I've lived. I've drank. I've lived. I've scraped my way back, done the steps, not done the steps, just sort of existed, gone to meetings, felt like it. And then all of a sudden, this enlightenment started happening for me. And then really starting to look at the steps in a completely different way. And you know, obviously the main secret is don't pick up a drink, right? And hang in there. Find your best life inside this recovery and you know, working with others and stuff like that. And then just be patient, right? Be patient. And, you know, I think that was the biggest thing I took away from the fifth step was that is where I started to recognize these, you know, this north and south voices, right? These different consciousness, one very, very, very quiet, which is my higher power, and one being very loud, and that's my lower power. And, you know, I started to pay attention to that and seeing how it started to influence me and what it took to find it. And, yeah. All right, I'm going to do a reading, and then I got to go to work. Let's see. Is it 9:44? Oh, shit. All right. Actually, you know what? I got to go. Bye.